It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 644 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week, Patrick McAvoy from Gorgo Legacy joins us to talk about his upcoming 72-page graphic novel. This book is being crowdfunded on Zoop.gg and is described this way. 1953. World War II is over and the Cold War has taken its place. A secret international agency known as Serenity monitors and often conceals the threat of giant monsters they term mega cryptids, the Kaiju. Agent Benson might well have saved the world in this first mission for Serenity, but has left deep scars on his psyche, cursing him with weird visions of the future. Benson must now investigate strange events on an isolated isle off the coast of Ireland. In this prequel to the legendary Gorgo film, Benson's dark visions of tomorrow loom. A Kaiju blood feud and Cold War intrigue will soon collide in the deadly waters of the North Atlantic. We discuss how this book came to be, Gorgo's history, who the characters are in this new comic book graphic novel, and what we can expect from Patrick and Titanic Creations in the coming months. Be sure to support this already successful crowdfunding campaign before it concludes on or around June 27. I'm sure you're going to enjoy what Patrick has to say. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get on with the show. An award-winning illustrator, designer, and art director, Patrick McAvoy has a long history drawing comics, games, book covers and interiors, and more. His comics work include The Soul War, the first of the Titanic Creation graphic novel series, which will play a very important role into what we're going to be talking about tonight. And what we're talking about tonight is Gorgo Legacy, which is now available on Zoop.gg and... As I was telling you, Patrick, before, I think that my math says it's going to come around. The end's going to be about June 27th, but don't wait that long. Get in there and support it right away. So how's it going, Patrick?
Pretty good. We just launched today, as recordings tend to distort time a little. just launched today on Tuesday the 28th, and as of right now, we've had the campaign up for about 10 hours, and we're over halfway to our goal already, so pretty happy about that.
Very good. Congratulations. I'm sure it'll be much higher by the time this posts. So maybe we should mention that the goal is $5,000, and as we're recording this early, you got 59 supporters, which is a good number to have, and so I expect by the time this posts, you will be in much better shape than that even. You probably got your goal and moving into stretch goals and good things.
Yes, we forgot the little teaser. Hey, if we get to 5,000, we'll start, or once we get towards 5,000, we'll start posting stretch goals. But it looks like we're going to have to start posting those in a day or two. So that's really great.
Good. That's a good problem to have, believe me.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of people that would love to have that problem. All I can tell you. Well, let me go ahead and read a little bit of the description, because I think that'll help people understand what we're talking about. It says, from the creators of the acclaimed graphic novel Soul War, which we already mentioned, journey again to Nara Island. Gorgo is back and better than ever. In this prequel to the cult classic film Gorgo, a kaiju blood feud and Cold War intrigue collide in the deadly waters of the North Atlantic. For fans of legendary kaijus, this book is a must-have. And if you've ever wanted to see how the MIB would handle kaiju, this is the book for you. Plus limited amounts of comic book Gorgo figures from Titanic Creations are being made available. So there's lots of good thing going on. So, Patrick, I was interested because I keep hearing that word thrown around, and I didn't know what it actually meant. What is a kaiju? And I looked it up. According to the all-knowing Wikipedia, I think, kaiju is a Japanese word that refers to a giant monsters in media and is a subgenre of science fiction. And they list two names that, of course, I won't pronounce, created that term. Some examples of kaiju include Godzilla and Mothra, among others and stuff. Are you a monster guy?
I'm a semi-monster guy. I love my giant monster movies, and I've done a lot that's sort of tangentially related or exactly related to it. But I have a lot of friends who are really into the genre a lot more than me, so I usually have fun asking them questions and learning things. But I've certainly seen all of the classic kaiju movies from the 50s and 60s at least once or twice. Gorgo, as it happened, was a favorite of mine growing up. I've seen it several times. And it's a real fun cult classic. It's not as well known, obviously, as some of the others, like Godzilla, for instance. But it's from that same era. Now, the difference is that Gorgo is a British production. So that was sort of England's answer to Godzilla. It's about it was created about 5 years after Godzilla came out. So it was definitely trying to ride on those coattails a little bit. Of course, interestingly, it's argued that the first real kaiju movie was also from England. It was called The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms, which was a Harryhausen movie. Based on a story by Ray Bradbury, and that came out, I think, a couple of years before Godzilla. So I guess England was entitled to their own after that. And yeah, Gorgo's a really fun movie. You're never going to mistake it for a super all-time classic. But I don't think it deserves to be forgotten because the people who see it love it, and the people who love Gorgo, you know, really are attached to the character. And it looks good. The creature design's really unique and fun. So it was a fun movie. And I think the great thing is it's available for free on YouTube now. Pretty high quality color version.
Yeah, so you were telling me that. I wish I knew that because I never got a chance to see it, but now I'll have to. I looked up a description on Wikipedia and I got some of the ideas, like where the name comes from and stuff like that. So that's pretty good. I have to tell you, when I was very young, and this is going to date me, in my hometown up in northeastern Pennsylvania, there was a movie theater in my town, and they used to on Saturday afternoon run these monster movies.
Oh.
And so I would go every Saturday afternoon, my brother and I and all the rest of us, all the kids in the neighborhood would go, and we would go and watch Godzilla and Mothra and all those things, and Godzilla versus Mothra and all that kind of stuff. It was just amazing to me, all this stuff. And then, one day all of a sudden it was gone. The movie theater closed up and no more of that stuff. But I was glad I got to go when I did because it gave me some kind of an understanding of monster movies and what's going on, stuff like that. Of course, they were black and white and all that good stuff. So it was interesting. It's great fun to do it. So my understanding is this is considered an official Gorgo prequel, is the way I understand it.
Yeah. Well, the company that is putting this out, Titanic Creations, and the owner of the company, Mac McClintock, is my co-writer on this. They are a company that specializes in unique original toys of kaiju that they created themselves. They did four really interesting and very visually unique characters. And that's what we based our first graphic novel on was the original characters. That's a big 180-page graphic novel that's called Soul War. So anyway, Mac wanted to branch out into doing some of the lesser-known kaiju, because like all the toy companies seem to do the same few figures over and over again, you know, the ones that you've mentioned and the ones from the Japanese movies mostly, and Godzilla over and over and over. And he has been wanting to branch out into things that are a little less known, more selective popularity, as they said in Spinal Tap. So the first one he was able to get the rights to was Gorgo. And so as soon as he did that, he mentioned to me, maybe we should make our next graphic novel about Gorgo. And from that point, we were pretty excited. So he got the rights to do toys and comics. We're using the same logo from the movie. I spruced it up a little bit, but it's an official Gorgo product. And so we're doing, what we decided to do was that our first graphic novel, Soul War, takes place in World War II. And the four original Titanic Creations characters, the monsters, all come into conflict during the war. So we have had this really interesting backdrop of characters who are involved in the war in different ways. You know, we have a refugee, and we have soldiers, and we have people from this organization called Serenity, which is a secret organization, kind of Men in Black like, only they're a little more about keeping tabs of creatures rather than, you know, fighting them generally. But we included that organization along with everybody else in the middle of World War II, and it's a real epic. I'm really proud of it. And so when the Gorgo thing came along, the idea that Mac had was to make it a prequel to the movie. And to me, when we started writing it, that made perfect sense, because we started World War II. Gorgo was in 1960, so if we went right in the middle there, we kind of when the Cold War really got going. So instead of having World War II as a backdrop, for this one we've got the Cold War as a backdrop.
Okay. Now, I noticed there's some preview pages on the Zoop.gg page. By the way, the Zoop.gg page is Zoop.gg/C(cat) / Gorgo Legacy, all one word. And that'll get you to the spot. If you don't see it on the front page, but I had to smile when I saw a Gorgo. There's a Gorgo-like creature that's fighting a huge squid. And according to the thing, the squid's name is Titanicus.
No, Titanicus is actually one of the original characters from the Soul War book. He's another giant, a different giant monster completely. The giant squid never really has a name in this one, although there's a larger giant squid later that we call the Kraken. Now, Titanicus is, he is a giant, he's more of the giant lizard, Godzilla style monsters. Only his backstory in our thing, he's got a giant like shard of ice on his back, and when he swims it sort of pokes out of the water like a big iceberg. And so he sunk the Titanic, which was when he first became known, so they called him Titanicus.
That makes sense. I got a huge kick because the name of the company is Titanic.
Yep, Titanic Creations. And that was their first, the first toy that they did was Titanicus. So they sort of launched from that. And they then did their other three original characters after that. And they'll probably do more in the future, but right now I think they're concentrating on doing toys based on more obscure kaiju. Like, there's this one, Gorgo from England, and the next one that they've just released is Yongori. I'll probably mangle that pronunciation. And he's kind of a more obscure kaiju character from Korea. So, yeah. And with any luck, if this book does well, we'll probably bring him in another sequel coming up. So, fingers crossed.
Now, this book is, I think it's, what, sixty pages? How many pages long?
60 pages of story. We're going to have some back matter, some previously on, some other back matter stuff. But it's, 60 pages of story.
I think one of the extensions could be that it's going to be 72 pages eventually.
Yeah, we'll probably, we'll see how far along we get, but it would be nice to add maybe another short story or some other interesting stuff in the back that people get some added value out of. So that would be nice. We might add some of the other Titanic Creations toys into stretch goals. You never know. We're going to be brainstorming a little sooner than we thought we'd be, luckily.
That's good. Now, one thing we should say is that this book is already complete. It says you've done all the effort and finished all the inks and colors. The only thing left to do is print the books. All files are in the hands of the Zoo Publishing Team, and we will act quickly after the campaign is over to get the books printed and mailed out. You expect an early fall 2024 fulfillment, but if any delays pop up, Zoo can be there to communicate with people. So how long have you been working on this?
Well, I think I started major work in the fall, last fall, and I finished up early this year. And so we were, finished up late February, and obviously I don't work on it full time, but I was doing a good three quarters of my time during that. Because I do all of the pencil, ink, and coloring, and co-writing, and lettering.
Now, you also do an ink sketch book plate, according to this.
Yeah, we're going to do, that's been popular in the past. We don't have a proper preview picture of it at this point, because I forgot to provide one, but an ink sketch book plate is really cool. It's like it's a little half sheet piece of adhesive paper, so that I'll do a sketch on that sign, and then it goes into the book, you know, as a fly in, and then people can either keep it as a regular book plate, or they can tear it off and paste it into the inside front cover or whatever of the book if they like, and make it a part of the book.
Oh,
so
very
I don't
cool.
know how many people do that, but it's kind of a fun option, I think.
Mm-hmm. Now, another option I think is something that I always like is you get your name printed in the book. Of course, you gotta sign up for one of the other. There's a bunch of primary rewards, and then there's add-ons. And one of those add-ons for $5 only. Wow,
that's super cheap.
We'll print your name on the book's special thanks page, so the world can forever know your support. Seven people have claimed this as we're talking. I imagine there's going to be many more by the time we get to. And by the way, that book Soul War we mentioned, that's something you can get.
We got it both as a couple of bundles, include the Soul War book, and you can get it as an add-on too. And that's really, I hope a lot of people take advantage of that one, because as I mentioned, this is a prequel to the Gorgo movie, but it's also a sequel to the Soul War book. So anybody who enjoyed that should probably pick this one up, because it carries on some of the characters from that. And, you know, sort of, we'll call it the Titanic Creations universe, for lack of a better name.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk a little bit about the story, because monster movies are always, you know, the monsters are kind of, it's kind of like when the Incredible Hulk on his TV show, they're kind of, They show up every once in a while, but they're not the main portion of the story because you got to have people talking to each other for people to understand. Otherwise, you get the Gur-Arg stuff all the time. You've got to have this. So let me read a little bit of what the story it says it is. It says, well, we talked about that part. There's an agent Benson might well have saved the world in his first mission for Serenity, but now he must balance new duties with his unwanted status as a war hero. His encounter with a malevolent alien intelligence on that fateful mission has left deep scars on the psyche as well, cursing him with weird visions of the future. Sent on a new mission with Agent Simon, an untested recruit, Benson must now investigate strange events on an isolated island off the coast of Ireland. Destructive creatures have been sighted, unidentified cargo ships roam the nearby channels, and mysteriously, the Serenity agent previously assigned there has disappeared. Where did these characters come from, may I ask?
Well, in Soul War, we just like you said, you need a really strong cast of characters. So when we did Soul War, we had a number of factions. Since there were four creatures, we sort of had a different human, either one or two, or even a group of humans that were part of the story of each of those creatures. And then we winnowed them down. By the end, there were less of them left alive. all of our favorite characters were still around and ready to be used later. And one of them, Agent Benson, sort of turned out to be my favorite character from the first book. And it's funny, in the beginning of Soul War, we had a little section where one of the bad guy creatures was in the woods in the United States, and he was sort of getting bigger as he ate people. I won't give too much away because this is like in the first 20 pages or so. And we had two park rangers going off to investigate a missing hiker, and you know, they ran into the creature. And in the original draft of the script that Mac had done, they just both get eaten. But I had one of the characters being sort of a smart ass, but also kind of a brave and stand up guy. And I said, what if we don't kill him? What if we keep him in the next scene where the creature attacks the town? And Mac said, okay, that's pretty good. So we're going through it, there. He writes another draft. That's the way we do it. He'll start with a draft and he sends it to me, and then we'll go back and forth from there. Anyway, we got to the scene where the creature attacks the town. Okay, so Benson's going to die in the attack. And I, by the time I got to the end, I said, no, he's going to fight the creature. I like him too much. And before you know it, we had Benson joining forces with Serenity, the monster fighting group. And there we go. So he sort of, just because I like the character, became the lead of the book. And so he's our lead character in Gorgo Legacy. Mm-hmm. So it's several years later, and he saved the world, but he did have some psychic repercussions, and so we're sort of dealing with that a little bit here.
It says a little further on, it says, Benson's dark visions of tomorrow loom, a kaiju blood feud, and Cold War intrigue will soon collide in the deadly waters of the North Atlantic.
Yes. So
he is psychic ability. It hits him psychically. What happened before?
Yeah. He sort of did he had to do kind of a mind melt with the most evil creature in the first book, and he helped save the day by doing that. But you could tell at the time it was going to take a toll, and so here. In this book, we find that what has happened, and again, not to give too much away, but you're going to see that he has really, really strange nightmare visions, and he doesn't even know if they're the future or they're just him going crazy, and they're very hard to interpret if they can be interpreted at all. So they keep popping up throughout the book. And so he's got to figure out, if he can, what they have to do, if anything, with what's happening there on the island. But of course, as fans of Gorgo will pick up, that is where Gorgo is from. So we're obviously going to be.
Okay, now.
You know, also, those who have seen the movie, so I won't be giving too much away here because everyone should see the movie. But you know, Gorgo's a giant creature, and it sort of goes through a King Kong type of story. I won't say that the storyline in Gorgo is terribly original, where he's captured on the island and brought to London. But the big plot twist of the Gorgo movie is that then his mother comes for him, and you thought he was giant. His mother is Godzilla size.
Right. Right. Now,
being a prequel, we don't have baby Gorgo yet. So
right. Now, from what I see in the description that I read of the movie, he's named Gorgo by they send the younger Gorgo into a circus kind of a setup.
And yeah.
He gets named Gorgo from somebody would call him, named after Medusa thing or something. So that's where the name Gorgo comes from.
Yeah, because he's horrible to see or something like that. And then the people on the island have another name for the creature. Or it's kind of left vague, but fans of the movie have called the mother a different name, Ogura. So she's not technically Gorgo, but everyone just kind of calls them all Gorgos. So we went with that as a shorthand, although we never do name the creature in the book because, as you point out, that name Gorgo doesn't even come into it until the movie, which is several years after what we have.
There's some preview pages on the Gzoot.gg project page. It starts out with there's a merchant, some boats, and people are talking about the fact that merchant boats are disappearing. And then we switch over to, it looks like somebody, a Russian. People mm-hmm. are talking Russian, and those are different people. And then, of course, the boat gets attacked by the giant squid. And that's where, now, I don't want to spoil anything, but all of a sudden there's a Gorgo with a red thing on the forehead.
Yeah, don't bother spoiling me. I don't worry about spoiling.
Well, it's on the page.
Exactly. Fine. Yes, and that is obviously another relation to Gorgo from the movie, who pops up and rescues the ship, although he seems to be rescuing the ship mostly so that he can have dinner and munch on the giant squid. So that's what we see in that preview page. And yes, we had previously, a couple pages earlier, been talking about these mysterious merchant ships that have been roaming around the waters. And apparently this Russian vessel is one of them. So what are they up to? I have to wonder.
Now, I do see something that made me wonder when I was looking at there's the Gorgo-like creature attacking the squid-like thing. And the squid, I've never seen this before, throws an egg at the Gorgo monster.
Well, that's later on. Actually, I asked them not to put in those later pages, but they did for the previews. So, yes, there's a squid, a giant, an even bigger creature later on, and that's fighting with the Gorgo family. So
Is that a Gorgo egg that the squid throws?
Possibly.
You got to read the book to find out. That's what you got.
Exactly. Well, just, you know, just if you think it through, there's got to be a baby Gorgo at some point.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've never seen a squid throw something before, so that's kind of a new thing.
This is a really smart squid. This squid is holding a grudge against the Gorgos.
So it's a
very smart squid, and when you get to see it, it looks pretty cool. It's not just your regular squid. The first one looks like basically a huge, giant ship-sized squid, but this larger one that we meet later is definitely more monstrous, more armored, more kaiju-like.
Well, the cover is a Gorgo, looks like it's fighting a squid, and there are military planes flying around.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're just looking. They're not shooting anything at anybody. They probably want to if they're smart, they'll let the two monsters fight it out and take on who's ever left.
If they've got any brains. Well, the cover is an interesting hybrid of things. It was meant to be the cover of both this book and the cover of the toy, the comic book Gorgo, they call it. Now that, you'll be interested to know, is based on the sequel to the movie, which was done by Steve Ditko as a comic book series in the early 60s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so Steve Ditko did I forget his first name. His last name's Gil. Yeah, he was a writer from the era.
Gil Kane?
No. His last name is Gil. He did a lot of writing for DC and various kinds. Joe Gil, that was it. And anyway, Steve Ditko did the art, and obviously probably the plots, as he usually did. And it actually ran for a couple of years. Not many people know about it, but it was some classic Ditko monster work. And he really didn't make a huge mark, but I'm sure the people who were reading at the time were very entertained. It's a fun little story where Gorgo and Gorgo's mom are, you know, living in the ocean and having lots of adventures.
Because monsters were big in that era. Of course, all the Godzilla and all those good things going on. That was a big monster time.
Atlas that turned into Marvel. I mean, half of their books were giant monsters. Ditko and Stan Lee and Jack Kirby were doing all these monster comics. So it played right into Ditko's strength. Yeah. At that point. And so anyway, on the cover and the splash page, the first issue of Gorgo, Steve Ditko did these very unique, strange-looking jet planes flying around. And they're sort of iconic, the fans of the book. And so I have to disappoint you and everybody listening in saying that those planes don't make an appearance in the actual book. I know. But we put them in there as a nod to Ditko's great work. And the fact that it's for the cover of the toy, or, you know, the box art of the toy, too. So since it's comic book Gorgo, which is, you know, the Ditko Gorgo, the planes fit in with the toy. So that's why those groovy, weird-looking 60s Steve Ditko planes are there. And I looked it up. There were actually some jets that looked a little bit like those. So he didn't make them up completely out of thin air. There were some jets with really strange-looking wings like that.
Cool.
But they were fun to put in there as a little nod to Ditko, who I've always loved.
Very cool. Now, I got to ask a question, though. Why is it called Gorgo Legacy? Isn't usually a legacy? Because see, there's a they're trying to get the Star Trek movie made, Star Trek Legacy, but it's sort of a legacy is something that happens after, isn't it? So why is it called Gorgo Legacy?
That's a good question. Actually, a legacy can go backwards and forwards. It can be received from an ancestor, or it can be a predecessor to the future. So it's sort of a legacy can be is kind of a hourglass thing. It can come from the past, or it can go to the future. Something now that was from them. And so it can be thought of that way. But the other way to think of it, of course, is that this is creating the legacy for the future Gorgo to come.
Okay.
Yes. So it was a good word with multiple meanings, we thought.
Okay. Now, as the artist, how did you draw, or did you draw the Gorgo and the other monsters based on what you'd seen in, like, the Gorgo movie? Or how did you guys do that?
Well, I watched the movie several times once we started on the project, and did a lot of sketches of Gorgo. But then I also received the first Gorgo toy that was produced by Titanic Creations with a really nice sculpt by a sculptor named Dope Pope, who does all of the Titanic Creations sculpts along with many other things he does. He's really, really good. And he created his version of Gorgo. Or Gorgo's mother, to be more specific. And I got that toy in the mail before I started doing my art, so I was able to use that as my model for a lot of things. So my drawings don't look exactly like the movie. They pull a little bit from the movie, they pull a little bit from the Ditko series, and they pull some from the actual toy that I had. It was nice to have the toy because then I could set it up on my desk and shine lights at it from different directions and get a good idea of where all the highlights and shadows would fall on the crinkly skin. So that was really fun. It's great to have that. And in fact, I had that with the Soul War book too, with the four Titanic Creations creatures. I was able to use those as models as well. It comes in very handy.
Cool. Very cool. Because my favorite, of course, was Batman the Animated Series. And the fun thing for me that they did was they had the artist would sit around and there was like a statue of the character and how he was supposed to look. And they would rotate the statue around based on who was drawing what angle of him and stuff like that. And they made those available so us fans could buy them. And boy, that's one of my all-time very favorite things is the Batman statue from the animated stuff. Just absolutely amazing to me. I just loved it.
Well, it really does help. It keeps you on model. So you don't drift too far away in terms of the proportions or the face or anything. And yeah, again, it helps with lighting. And it can help you too to have something to hold, give you ideas. So, you know, if I do a sketch and Gorgo has to be in some direction and holding something or whatever, I'll do an initial sketch and then I can pick up the model and kind of hold it from different angles and say, okay, is there a better angle I could do rather than what I sketched? And, you know, sometimes I'll come up with something I hadn't even imagined in terms of a point of view. And I get to do lots of fun photographic things with the panels, and that really helps too. And it helps with I'm sure with animation and things like that. A lot of illustrators create models or maquettes, they call them, the creatures and their environments. Think of the classic Bernie Wrightson. Frankenstein. He actually sculpted a Frankenstein head that he used as his model throughout that.
Cool.
Yeah, so it is really helpful to have that sort of thing around. It's, it makes the lighting more realistic, and again, it keeps you from drifting visually, so it's very nice to have.
Now, unfortunately, by the time this posts, there's a level that's going to be gone. There was an autographed book for the first 48 hours only. Now, what I I guess to show this is real, they actually show your autograph and I guess Mac's autograph is on there too.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's a good idea to put your autograph out there.
Well, I don't know about other artists, but for me, real early on when I was just a young artist, I realized I certainly don't want my real signature on things that I sign checks with.
Yeah. So somebody get a hold of your check. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think most of us create sort of stylized stylized signatures that don't look anything like our real handwriting. So that's I can't speak for Mac. I guess everyone listening, hey, that isn't really Mac's signature. I'll just say that. I'm going to help him out a little.
Because I ran into that problem because I'm an editor of an indie comic, and somebody actually said to me, "This sign my book." And I was like, well, I'm only the editor. You don't want me to sign your book. And I said, oh, yeah, you do it. And so I thought, well, what am I going to do something different? I took my first name and I squashed all the letters together. So I draw a W, and then I put an A squashed right up against it, and a Y, and then the N and the E. So it's all one thing. So they said, that's not how you sign your name, is it? Nope.
Yeah, good. So yeah, don't let them steal your identity. Yeah, I don't know how I came up with mine. I just kind of sketched around for a while, and I realized I could do mine with all a bunch of straight lines, and as long as I put the E in the middle, you kind of knew what was happening. So
cool.
People said, what is that, a bar graph or something?
Well, now, of course, this one obviously looks like by the time this posts, this is going to be a huge success. Gorgo Legacy 2, is that possibly in our future?
That is what we're hoping for. We've got a $5,000 amount, and yeah, as of right now, we're over $3,000, just having started earlier today, but the $5,000 was that'll be getting the book printed, you know, through Zoop. Right? They do a great job with that. They're providing graphic design and printing and distributing. They're doing all the work on their end. So the $5,000 will pretty much cover that. But our hope was to get more and actually, you know, make a little profit, get a little war chest together so that we can do another Gorgo comic. And again, we might bring that other character, Yangorian, to it. We might bring some of the other Titanic creations creatures back. We haven't got firm plans yet, although we do know that our Mayu is going to be going farther into the early 60s. And so it'll be another another book that'll be a period piece, but definitely a few years later. But we don't have the exact plot worked out yet. But we would love to do another Gorgo, but that's going to depend on how far over the minimum we get. So hopefully, if we can double it, that would be really fantastic.
That'd be great. Well, while we're talking, the amount that you have, I think, has gone up $100, and we're not even broadcasting. This is going to post later on. But even while we're talking, it's gone up $100 more. So that $5,000 is looking closer and closer. I'm sure by the time this post, you will be way past that.
Well, fingers crossed. Yes. Look at that. I just went there myself. Wow, 61 supporters already. And we're not even 12 hours in. So hooray.
All right. Well, good for you. Congratulations are in order. Is this keeping you busy? Well, you've already got this in the bank, right? So are you working on other projects right now?
Oh, yeah. Gosh, I am always busy. Well, I do illustration, you know, as my day job. And so I have to constantly keep moving. I've got some graphic design work going. I've got a bunch of interior illustrations for a game from Onyx Path right now. I have some tarot cards on the board. Yeah, I'm just going crazy. But right now, my main comic book thing next is going to be with Steve Bryant, who has done a long-running book called Athena Voltaire. And he asked me to work with him doing the art on a book that is also going to be crowdfunding in another month called Undead or Alive. And it's kind of a meta satire or not satire in that it's funny, but, you know, a takeoff on the whole swamp monster genre. And that's looking really fun. So I'm doing the pencils on that. I'm about 9 pages away from finalizing that. And that one's actually going to be colored by somebody else for a change. So I'm only doing the pencils there. So that's my next project, is Undead or Alive with Steve Brandt. And then I have another series on the board with a friend of mine named Tom Pinchuk, who's done a number of books over the years, and he's primarily an animation writer. So can't say too much about that, but that is also coming up later. And then if everything goes right, the next Gorgo book will be along after that. So I'll just have my ducks all in a row. It's really turning into a comic book year for me.
Good. Yeah. That's good for us because we get to read them, and that's going to be fun read. So we're going to enjoy it. Now, I do want to say we should be able to follow you on social media. Do you have any social media accounts that we can follow you on?
Yeah, I do. I dropped Twitter a while back, and I'm really bad at Instagramming, so my main place would be Facebook, where you can look up Patrick McAvoy Art. Easy enough to remember.
And just spell your last name for people so they can find you.
Thanks. MCEV as in Victor, OY.
Yeah.
And then there's Patrick McAvoy Art, and there's also my just regular, if you look up Patrick McAvoy on Facebook, there's my main account, but that one has a lot of, you know, silly stuff. And it has all my art stuff, but it also has, you know, cat memes and politics you may or may not like. So I'd say stay away from that and then go to the Patrick McAvoy Art page on Facebook. You'll get all the things that are happening and all the things that are going to happen and a few treats here and there.
Very good. Very good. Now, for one last time, it's at zoop.gg/C/Gorgo Legacy. And you are getting, I'm sure by the time this posts, you will be past that 5,000 into stretch goals. But it looks like lots of fun. I always think back to those early Marvel monster books, and those are great fun. I have a roommate who's huge on those books, and so this is so much fun. I probably should get one of these for him because he'll probably enjoy this.
I cannot argue with you about that. I think you're right. But yeah, I mean, a lot of Kirby and Ditko's best work was in those because it was just wild stuff, and then early. Stan Lee dialogue. It's, man, nothing beats it for nostalgia.
Yep. Yeah, well, Patrick, keep up the wonderful stuff. Again, it's Gorgo Legacy, and go to zoop.gg, and you'll find it there, and be sure to support it. Don't wait until it's going to end. It's going to end on, as far as I can tell, the 27th of June, but sometimes they extend these out, so you're never exactly sure when it's going to end. But again, it's Gorgo Legacy, and be sure to get in there and back it. If you'd like to see more monster books by Patrick here, I would highly recommend you get in there and support it.
Thank you, and thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
If you're enjoying this show, I would greatly appreciate your support.
For $5 a month, you can ensure I'm able to bring you interviews with comic creators week after week. You can support the show by becoming a patron at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Check out that address, again, patreon.com/majorspoilers, for more information. Thanks in advance. And that's it for this week. Be back next time. We'll have another great interview with another terrific comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.